Yearning to play a few rounds of Gwent, that ought to set me straight.
Welcome to Commander's Horn, episode 48. August is shaping up to be one of the busiest months in Gwent history. The TGI Summer League has begun, Gamescom approaches, and another weekend event is happening this coming Sunday, hosted by Life Coach. Cards are still being revealed, and a patch is approaching. It's never been more exciting for the game than right now. All this and some German tourist information on this episode of Commander's Horn. Welcome to Commander's Horn. Once again, a weekly Gwent podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Dane McBeard, and I'm joined once again by my co-host, the Midnight Viking himself, Grey Boxer, who has just returned from a little honeymooning in Germany. How is your trip, man?
Guten Abend. Yeah, das trip was too short, man. And the flight home was a Diebel ab Ars, if you know what I'm saying. That's NA security for you. But yeah, man. We had a great time. We were staying in German wine country, kind of along these along the Rhine River and in these like little villages, and got to explore the villages and, you know, climb up old walls and fortifications from 800 or 900 years ago. Ate some solid German schnitzels. But yeah, man, people are lovely there. I think you're going there with La Vegetaliana in a few weeks or sooner than that, right?
Yeah, we are going to Cologne, not for Gamescom, but right after Gamescom. We're attending a wedding, and we will get to see the wondrous sights of Cologne, Germany, which is home to such fantastic structures as, I don't know, you may have to tell me.
I'm sure calling it the Grand Cathedral might not be correct, but if you see it, you'll think, that's a pretty grand cathedral if I ever saw one. I left the laptop at home while I was in this 9-day honeymoon, so I had to wait to get my Gwent fix till I got back, so I guess coming home has its perks.
And you came back refreshed. It sounds like you've had a really good run so far. You've actually pushed into, you're looking to get ranked 20. You're actually probably ranked higher than me at this point. It sounds like the vacation and your reset came back in, and now you're just crushing it. What are you playing?
It's kind of weird how your RNG just resets when you just take a break. I had to put down the Dijkstra deck to start high rolling, actually. So yeah, no, it's been going well. I've been playing some Skellige discard, some Queensguard, and some dwarfs as well. So it's been fun. I'm glad to be back. I'm glad to be playing Gwent again, back here in the Commander's Horn Studios with you.
Yeah, great. Glad to have you back as well. If you missed the previous episode, I did have to fill your chair. With the great merchant who was generous enough to sit in.
Oh, 999. I listened to the episode. I didn't watch it. I don't know why I said that. I could have watched it if I'd... I think Merchant had it on his YouTube as well. But no, I listened to that. And it was funny because I was on, you know, I was on vacation this whole time. And you guys made reference on the podcast to, oh, I don't know if this is your only source of Gwent news, but in case it is. And I was thinking, yeah, this is my only source of Gwent news right now, because I literally have been disconnected for over a week. So
that's
fantastic job. Shout out to Merchant for being just mega and having the world's like deepest English voice and basically being everything that I'm not.
No, it was really great. He guested the podcast on his channel, and we got a lot of people that may have just been turned onto the podcast because of Merchant, so we do appreciate that as well. And if you aren't familiar with the info, this episode of Commander's Horn is recorded in the Commander's Horn Studios, so recorded live to tape. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and other podcasting apps. Follow us on Twitter at Commander's Horn for all updates on the show, and feel free to email us anytime with your feedback, questions, discussion topics, commandershornpodcast@gmail.com.
And this week, your episode of Commander's Horn is brought to you by our sponsor, Foltest Blue Stripes Exterminators. Crush those vermin! Wait, that's not right. Commander's Horn is supported by our commandos! Our patrons at patreon.com/commandershorn. Your support keeps the lights on and keeps us ad-free. And it keeps us making the best Gwent content we can.
Shoutouts to all the commandos, and new and old. So it's been really busy around here, really busy. Anybody who's been following me on stream, following me on YouTube, you know that things have been pretty crazy. There's lots of events going on. There is the TGI Summer League, which I've been playing in with our Commander's Horn commandos, Delta 65 and A-. And there's been another huge event that's been announced in Europe, which I have been fortunate enough to be invited to. Let's talk about both of those things right after this. All right, so let's talk about the news here. Let's talk about the Gwent Together. This is a huge announcement from Life Coach, who you may know him as the champ, the winner of the Gwent Challenger, which has been, up until the Gamescom tournament, the only, I guess, would you say premier tournament? Would you say, you'd play, well, we would say CD Projekt Red sanctioned and hosted tournament, but, you know, so the big boy tournaments, right? So Life Coach is the champ, and he has been known for doing this for Hearthstone. He's had Summer Mansions for Hearthstone, and this is his first Gwent event. Going to be 8 players, a little friendly tournament, and I'm going, which is crazy. I can't believe I'm actually saying those words. I'm going to Life Coach's to play Gwent in Vienna. It's, you know, asked me 2 years ago if I would ever say those words. No way. But a lot can happen in a year.
Yeah, quite a lot. And it's been a result of a lot of hard work, I know, on your part, and especially on the part of Life Coach for getting this together. And really, like you say, showcasing his desire to bring the Gwent community together and bringing a ton of really excellent competitive players who apparently all just want to hang out in person at his pretty posh pad and play some Gwent. So I'm excited to check it out.
Yeah, the event will be broadcast on Sunday, 1 p.m. CEST on Life Coach's Twitch channel, Life Coach 1981.
Let's talk about who's coming.
Yeah, when we talk about community, who are these members of the community that are coming in for the Gwent Together, which got a great logo, by the way. It looks great. So McBeard, that's me. Obviously, you're very familiar with me because you're listening to the podcast that I host. And
I am also very familiar with you. This is your winner of the very first ever Gwent tournament. The November Beta Brawl? You were the champion there?
I will milk that for as long as I can, my friend.
There was like 40 participants in that. Like, it wasn't just like 6 people. I mean, it was a number of participants. And so that was, you know, pretty good. So obviously you're old blood, and you're being invited with a number of very, some unsurprising guests.
For sure.
But you do have the pedigree. Super JJ will be there, and that will come as a surprise to absolutely no one.
They're best buddies. I mean, they stream together all the time, and you know, they play together. Super JJ representing Team Complexity and everything that he does. And one of the things that he will be doing is going to Gamescom as a competitor. If you listened to the last podcast, we actually had him on moments after he qualified, getting that top 7 finish. At the cutoff day, which I believe was Tuesday, August 1st at 4 p.m. Central European Standard Time, we reached out to him right away and we got him on this show. So he was, you know, he's a very well-known player. He's been playing Hearthstone for a while competitively as well. And he's, you know, famous for being a friend of Life Coach on top of all of those achievements. On top of that, he's going to Gamescom and he's going to have a shot at that prize pool at 25K. You know, that we're really excited for that coming up. But, you know, this is coming up before that. So it's a really busy August. Also joining Impetuous Panda, still one of the best in the game. This guy's known for having multiple top 10 positions, not just with his own account, but his PC, his Smurf account. He plays on Xbox. He has 2 Xbox accounts and a PC account. The dude's he's a master and he's a machine. And I will confirm that he is an immortal man, I guess, when I get a chance to meet him at this thing.
Yeah, you'll have to pinch him and then try to get some of them secrets, McBeard, because we're going to need them. I don't know how... Is it? It was 2. I know it was position 1 and 2 he held simultaneously not too long ago, and he has 3 accounts going right now, including his recently made. I think the PC account was his second account, right? And then the third one was his second Xbox account.
No, I'm pretty sure the third one was the PC because he wanted to scrim with some of us. He's in a scrim group that I talk to every now and then.
Yeah.
And you know, he being able to participate in tournaments, sometimes you just need to have a PC. I think all times you need to have a PC. So without a PC, you can't compete. And, you know, a player this good needs to be competing, let's be honest. He's just one of the best. Really, really well known for playing Skellige. And, you know, it's great that he's coming to the... It's great that he's coming to Life Coaches, but it is unfortunate. Originally, Vishra was one of the people that was invited, but he had to cancel due to some family matters. So all of our love goes out to Vishra. But it is going to be good to meet Panda. And I think that it's important that he gets out there to play because he's a fantastic player.
Someone who is definitely a Nilfgaardian, unlike Kay here, is Mega Mogwai, and he'll be coming as well to the Gwent Together at Life Coaches. And I think I think it's hard to find someone who doesn't know Mogwai. He was a co-caster with McBearded at the Challenger event. He'll be casting with you guys at the Gamescom event. And I don't know, like, probably one of the most like legit nice guys to watch playing Gwent. Really skilled. And this dude is dedicated to his faction. This guy is a true Nilfgaardian.
Plays Nilfgaard all the time. He's such a great person. If you ever can catch him on stream, his reactions are fantastic. When he like his reactions when he wins, his reactions when he loses, it's all gold. Love Mega Mogwai, and it's great. I'll actually be able to hang out with him twice this month, which is pretty crazy. Game King is also invited. He's a dominant player. I believe he's from Vienna. He's reached number one on the leaderboard a couple of times. Loves playing dwarves, and one of the players that popularized one of the latest lists, like some of the really harsh carryover dwarf decks involving buffing those dwarves. And basically, if you can't beat it, you can't beat it in round one, you won't beat it in round two. So it's just, you know, it's such a dominating deck. Super JJ also plays a deck like this as well to keep his ladder position. So it's one of the best decks out there. Definitely very, very represented up at the top. And yeah, Game King, he's a really good player. Some really good players going to this thing.
Yeah, and there's a number of other players who we aren't as familiar with, but we're sure that you'll learn more about after the Gwent together, which is going to raise everybody's profile who's going, I think, especially if some folks who don't stream all the time can do pretty well at this. We've got Zebinator coming. Metronos, keeping with the theme of you have to be starting with an M to be invited to anything, and and Fave, who's from Germany.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the only thing that I know, like, you know, these are all dedicated players. You know, if you go to their profiles on Twitter, if you look them up, they're definitely, you know, they're branding themselves like they're absolute Gwent players. But I do believe some of these people are friends of Life Coach, probably that he knew through Hearthstone times. And but I do know that Zebinator is currently in the top 100. He was playing against Ocean Mud today on stream, according to some scouting by A-, when I asked kind of like what he has a reputation for, because, you know, for my future opponents, I would like to know more about these players. So good to know. I believe he likes to play Northern Realms. We figured that out today, at least. So yeah, it's a friendly 8-man tournament. The details on the broadcast are to be determined at this point, but Life Coach has been posting all the updates. So follow Life Coach at LifeCoach1981 on Twitter. He does use that very frequently to update on all of this stuff, and I'm sure he's going to post like tons of pictures. And you know, he's got Marty, who helps him with his vlogs as well. He's going to be covering the whole event. I imagine I'll be able to see Marty there. So shout out to Marty Mazing. And I'm leaving on Wednesday, which is likely the day you're listening to this podcast. So right now, right this minute, I may be on my way to Vienna.
Let's all quietly imagine McBeard going through customs, having to take out all of his Gwent merchandise and explain it to the customs agents, one of them recognizing him as McBeard.
Yeah, like that would happen. Although somebody did recognize, I can tell a quick story here. I was out at a very popular Toronto bar called Sneaky D's, and it's down, you know, it's one of, if you've ever seen Scott Pilgrim or read Scott Pilgrim, I believe it's referenced in that movie and comic book. So, you know, it's a very fairly like famous Toronto restaurant. It's a Mexican place just downtown. It's kind of divey, but it's like super, it's got so much character. We love going to Sneaky D's. And, a guy was at the bar, and he said to me as I passed him, he's like, "Hey, you down for a round of Gwent?" I'm like, "Does this dude know who I am?" Which is such a weird thing to ever think, like, you know, having a profile where people could recognize you, because it's never happened in public yet. So I asked him, I'm like, "Do I know you?" Which, you know, if somebody doesn't know that I do this podcast and do this work with Gwent, it's a very weird way to start a conversation with somebody who's just wanted to say hi, saying, "Do I know you?" It's kind of rude. But I actually wanted to know if I knew him, if he was somebody, you know, from Toronto that actually is familiar with me. Turns out he had no idea that Gwent was even a standalone game. He just recognized the Witcher logo. He just recognized the Witcher logo, and he just happened to ask me. He could have said anything. He could have said, "How about those monster contracts?" Or, you know, "I hate portals," or something like that. He could have said anything Witcher related to me, but he said Gwent specifically, so it really threw me off. And by the end of the conversation, I'm sure we had a new sign up for Gwent, because he was very interested in, you know, finding out more, because he's a huge Witcher fan. So shout out to that guy who knows who he is, if he's listening to this podcast now. And yeah. Good times, good nachos, Sneaky D's. What's up?
Hey, and that just tells you guys, wear Witcher hats if you want to talk about Gwent, you know, off of Discord strangers. Chat.
Absolutely. Yeah, but there's more to talk about, of course. So there is stuff going on. The Gwentlemen's Invitational Tournament, which is a team season that's going on right now. Every week we're playing a match. By the time of this airing, Our match would have been shown on August 8th. So if you're listening to this now, it's already occurred. You can check it. Gwendolyn is doing a cast on August 8th, or they have already done it. Check the VODs. Hi, folks. Just cutting in here. We got some wrong information. I think that the schedule had changed after the time of this recording, and the Commanders Run Commanders are not one of the featured matches. You should still watch the VODs. Two great games were played yesterday on Tuesday. CD Projekt Wrecked versus Team XD Esports International and Club Penguin versus Team Italy. Really great series, both of those. Check those out. The Commanders Horn matches were recorded by us, but weren't really uploaded or put together. And since I'm traveling, it won't be streamed in any reasonable amount of time. So disregard any information about VODs. But if you want to know how the match played out, we do talk about that. And I will try to upload a YouTube of the match that I was piloting, which was the first match against Idealist EU, and Back to Kill was my opponent. But we were all playing together. So hopefully I can get that up before I leave for Vienna. In the meantime, just remember that the information about us being on the broadcast is not correct. Our opponents were Idealist EU, which you may also know these players from the Gwent City crew, Back to Kill, Gwent to Town, and Ancient Silence. One of probably, if you wanted to put your money on a team, you'd be okay putting your money on these guys. Really, yeah. Really great players. Top five teams, probably, if I had to rank them. They're definitely in the top five. They're known for being, you know, top players, tournament winners, really, really good players. And our match was featured, and, you know, you saw we had a solid start. We won with Queensguard. Really starting to like Queensguard. I'm turning around on that deck. But we couldn't make it happen with Full Test, and we ended up losing three. We got swept after that. And the final game was lost on a mulligan misplay, which allowed Donhar to steal our last Reaver Hunter, which was safe in our hand. We mulliganed it away because we had a Reaver Scout in our hand, and we just didn't really consider that Donhar would grab it, because it was the only bronze card left in our deck. So, whoops, that knocked us out. We learned a valuable lesson, and our next match will be against the Never Surrender team this week. It won't be broadcasted, but we'll update you at Commander's Horn.
Donhar can be so rude. I mean, it's enough that he's just punching dudes in the face and knocking out teeth, but he's knocking out your win cons, man. Your win cons.
Yeah, telling me to calm myself as he basically decides the game for me. But it wasn't RNG Donhar. Like, it was the only card. That's why it was a misplay. We shouldn't have put that Reaver Hunter back in the deck. But you know, it's tough. Like the Northern Realms decks, like the Mulligan is so critical with those decks. Really, really tough. And you know, we've been doing a lot of practicing with Northern Realms, and next time we bring it, we will be mulligan perfect.
You bring it, right? The next time you bring it, you're going to bring it.
Oh, we're going to bring it. We're going to bring it.
Yeah, man. I mean, as a small meta note, I mean, I'm going to get us a little bit sidetracked before we get into the new cards, or the new card we're going to speak about, and how it might affect the meta and the way deck building is going to work for Squirtle. Donhar and Hindar, I think, is like a huge unsung hero right now of Skellige. And you just mentioned like a very late Donhar play. And you would think of using Donhar and Hindar to lock something problematic kind of early. But he's going to be an 8 strength body in round 3 that could steal, you know, a card out of your opponent's deck they're going to win with, just like what happened to you guys. So be on the lookout and definitely be ready for the Donhar and the Sigurd Ifa of the Donhar, because I've been watching a lot of streams and it's been really, really messing people up.
Yeah, Donhar is just nasty. It's just nasty what he does. And sometimes it's like inconsequential. Like, what would have happened if we had mulliganed correctly is that Donhar would have stolen a pointless Reaver Scout from us, and that's why it was such a critical mistake that we had put that back in the deck. But it's just nasty. Like, he'll just, you know, if you're relying on a unit, it's like a spot, like if you're playing you know, Pirate Captains, Skellige, Spotters, or you know, Vreed Vanguards, Double Thana Protectors, like your big growing units, Donhar just rips those out of your deck. That's one thing that he can do. And it's also like completely random. Like, it could be like the range of his ability. It's not like Regis where, you know, what you're doing to your opponent is, it's worthy of a gold slot and it's a huge power play. Like, Donhar locking is big enough, but then he has this extra added effect of just like warping the future of the game. So, you know, we'll see. A lot of people talk about Donhar and they're not too happy about his effect. And I'm inclined to agree. I just think that when it comes to RNG, like a little bit's okay, but like when you have a range like Donhar has, it's pretty crazy. Because Donhar's worst case still going to be a 6 to 8 strength unit that's going to lock. Like, you're fine with that already, right?
Yeah, he's beating Gravehag every time in that drag race, just like most of your locking units would, but also he beats other cards, you know, and it's hard to be okay with his effect, right? Because if you're playing in a mirror, Donar can have huge effects, like stealing your raiders and then playing them to the board. So that's just like, it's almost like whoever wins the Donar RNG in a tightly fought Skellige discard mirror is going to win. And, you know, as you mentioned, stealing a pirate captain or stealing one of your Northern Realms musters, it's huge. Stealing a Necker could be huge. And I think that Donar is problematic, which is what I was trying to get at is like put everybody on red alert, like watch out for Donar. He might not be played very early. He might get played really late and really mess with something you're going to depend on. So they've probably got it if you're seeing Bran.
Yeah, Donar is almost auto-include, if not auto-include. It's not just that locks are important, it's just what he does is very strong. Sometimes you can just decoy him, just try to high roll some, just, you know, and there's even some mill variants that are running Donar these days. So, Donar, what are you going to do? I mean, shout out to Idealist EU, those guys, GG. We got beat. And, you know, it's interesting note about the format for TGI. So the way the format works right now is when you queue up with your leader, so it's conquest format. You can't play with a deck you won with, but you need to win with all of your decks. So when you play your deck, if you lose with a deck and you play it again, you can change every card in it. That's just the way TGI is doing. It's really great for them because they don't have to check deck lists for every player and every single possible match. And that is a load off for the admins. But it makes it really weird. It makes Ethna a really volatile leader because she can be dwarves or she can be like control. And the differences between those decks are so massive. It's like having two decks that you can basically choose to win with. And our opponent's Idealist EU leveraged that. We weren't able to leverage it so much because our full test list was kind of like in a state where we really couldn't change any cards. We felt that it was super tight. So whenever we went in with full test, every game it was the same deck. And by the third game, they just knew it through and through. And unfortunately, with that mulligan error, they got us. But maybe we'll be able to maybe leverage the format a little bit better this time. Bring in some decks with a little bit higher variance so our opponents can't necessarily put us on a deck completely if we lose with it. So watch out. Never Surrender team is coming up this week, so we're going to do our best to get a W on the record and progress in the league.
Right on, man. Let's talk about the Farseer.
Let's talk about the Farseer. We got a new card reveal from Paul Berza on the Twitter. He said, my favorite faction and a new card, so let's talk about this card right now.
Maybe not today and not tomorrow, but someday someone will find a way to take you down.
So the Farseer, right from Twitter, Paul Berza was happy to reveal. Great premium art, by the way. Waving the hands over those scented candles. What are those things?
incense bowls, I think. It's hard to get, and I'm just going to take the lore tangent right now since you handed me the microphone. It's hard to get an idea of exactly where this is coming from because the Farseer thing is, I think it's a stretch lore-wise because I don't know of any Scoia'tael Farseers. The text on the card will reveal a little bit more about that. But I'm not so sure like exactly what the source of this character is. But you're right, the art's pretty cool, and I do believe that those are incense bowls. Or they could be soup. Yeah.
They could be soup. You know, maybe Farseer is just like, maybe that's just Elven for soup cook, for saucier, perhaps. And, you know, when you eat soup, it improves your eyesight, so you can see further. I think that's, you know, I think that's pretty obvious now that I think about it. So
ich hatte gern Kartoffelsoup, bitte schon.
Lots of German on this podcast, and I knew that was going to happen. Farseer, finally, you're probably waiting for the description of the card if you haven't heard about it, but you probably have. It was the only card reveal last week. 6-strength agile unit. Agile, super important. If any ally or unit in your hand or deck, other than a Farseer, is boosted during your turn, boost self by 2 at the end of the turn. So the wording on this card is actually quite tricky, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, we actually had a little discussion before the podcast started to try to make sure we had it right for you guys, because it is sort of a long sentence, and it is sort of typical of some of the newer cards in Gwent, where they're trying very hard to make sure it's clear what's happening, and it sort of becomes muddy by the end of the sentence. But we're going to set you guys straight here. The card is basically an Impera Brigade. It's going to buff itself by two while it's on the board. If any unit besides a Farsire is buffed anywhere it is, except for the graveyard, which really isn't that relevant to Squaytail, because ally means unit on your side of the board. So that's something you hit with a Thunderbolt potion. Unit in your hand, it's something that is buffed by your Vrea Dragoon. Or something in your deck, which is buffed by your, you know, what are the mulligan units that no one plays anymore?
Oh, well, yeah, anything. Vrea Vanguards, Doble Thana Protectors, they buff in your deck as well. But it's not exactly like the Imperial Brigade in that the boosting effect only occurs once at the end of the turn. So if you have two dragoons ticking, it's not going to boost twice in a turn. So it only ever gets one boost. But that's still, I think this card is, it might actually be like pretty good. Like when you look at the cards that boost in Squaytail, like I think this card, when I did some research, first of all, I was actually misled on the description of it because I thought it was only units in hand and units in deck. And I actually made a whole video under this impression. So there's a video of me out there talking about this card. But when we looked up the actual definition of ally, like, you know, when you go into the game, you look at the tooltips, ally is a unit on your side of the board. It's very clearly stated. So you can see that on, you know, if you just highlighted Dwarven Mercenary, for example. If ally is bolded, it's meaning a unit on your side of the board. So it's any unit. So Squaytail has, like, including neutral cards, can include up to 28 cards that can affect this card. That's ridiculous. That means that you can build a deck easily, regardless of archetype, that will have this thing boosting every single turn, every turn. It would be weird to not be able to do that, depending on the units that you want to run. So those units, you know, and you wouldn't run all these units, but just to be comprehensive, Doble Thana Protector, Blue Mountain Commando, Mahakam Guard, Hawker Healer, Vrea Vanguard, Hawker Smuggler, Dwarven Skirmisher, Vrea Dragoon, Hawker Support, Barkley, Yarpin, Sheldon, Teruvial, Triss, Butterfly Spell, Regis, Higher Vampire, and Say Synthesis. And that's not even the special cards. There are an additional 10 special cards and then Iris as well, if you want to even like get fully comprehensive. The point is, there's boosts for days for this card. It's not going to ever really be sitting there.
Yeah, and so really what this does is this adds a core bronze card to a number of Skellige archetypes, and I'm looking at you, dwarves. However, I'm thinking that this card, you know, short of being an auto-include, is just going to be really strong, and I think it's a good solid, you know, like, you know, minimum value, of course, is 6, but I think you're going to easily be able to get 12 out of this thing, and a 12 power bronze is pretty nice. The only issue I have with putting it in certain decks, because we'll talk about this, because it sort of seems like it should go in a buffing deck, right, McBeard? Because as long as you're not buffing the Farseer, you're going to get a buff at the end of your turn on the Farseer.
Yeah, but every Squaytail deck is a buffing deck, isn't it? Like, there aren't really, we just listed those units. Like, there's not really a deck that you can make that doesn't have one of those units in it. Like, you're running one of those cards. So it's a tempo helper for Mulligan. It's a tempo helper for spells, for the Protectors and the Vanguard. So every time you're doing what your deck is doing best, you're getting a little bit of extra help on the board as well. And the fact that it's agile means that it's not going to line up for Igni if you can help it. You can just put it on a different row. And if you were able to get two or three of these things ticking out every turn, then you can just go about your business, playing your Elven Mercenaries into your Immune Boosts or your Thunderbolts, perhaps. You know, you're playing your Mahakam Guards, you're playing Yarpin, you're playing, I mean, you know, anything that boosts anything, like Decoy, Alzheimer's Double Cross and Marching Orders all incur, like, all those boosts occur. You know, and like, you're just building your tempo, and then it's just helping you out, like, a little extra boost every time you just do what you're normally going to do in your Squaytail deck. So finding space for it is probably going to be the hardest part, but once you can lock it in, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of decks that are going to make pretty good use of this card. I think we're going to see it a lot.
Yeah, and that's sort of what I was trying to get at there, is that I think that specifically like the current dwarf decks running around right now with a lot of potions in them, they're kind of tight on bronzes because of the amount of special cards they need to function, and it would be hard to fit additional bronze unit in there without dropping something critical like a Dwarven Mercenary, which is very good for moving units around, especially to line up potions and to avoid Ignis and to avoid weather and that sort of thing. So, you know, replacing, let's see, if you can replace a Dwarven Mercenary with one of these, you know, what kind of value could you get out of it? And that's sort of the opportunity cost question that we talk about sometimes when it comes to replacing cards. And, you know, a Dwarven Mercenary is only like 9 points, right? But it moves a unit. If it moves a unit out of Frost that's currently ticking on it, then that's 9+2 every turn. This card is going to get you 6+2 every turn if you meet a certain condition. So I'm finding a hard time trying to fit this into a Dwarven buff deck, but I think it's very possible to fit it into your sort of archetypical Squirtle control deck that has you know, the Trappers and has your Dragoons and Vanguards and those kinds of cards that just sort of passively will buff this unit on the board. The only problem is with that is it's going to block its own Scorch sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, definitely the Vrea Dragoon deck is probably the first place this is going to go. I don't think Dwarves need the help, really. I think that they're like super strong. I mean, we'll see what the next meta looks like, what the next balancing brings to a deck like that, because I think it's been identified as an incredibly strong deck. I feel like it fits a role kind of where Hawker Smuggler is right now. Hawker Smuggler is a ranged unit that's a 4-strength ranged unit that grows every time your opponent puts a unit on the board. Hawker Smuggler is good in, actually, right now, the meta right now with Dagon, you're probably going to get a lot of value out of Hawker Smugglers, and I've seen a few decks around running them, but it's kind of the same role. Like, you place the unit to, and you expect it to grow in strength and just kind of help you out as you continue to build tempo. And the difference is, the Farseer is agile, the Hawker Smuggler is not, so you can play them very liberally wherever you want. And, I mean, I wouldn't say it's strictly better than Hawker Smuggler, but I think in a lot of cases it probably will be.
Yeah, higher baseline, higher upside. We talk about that a lot when it comes to card analysis on this podcast. And, you know, we could, I mean, ostensibly this card could be 6+2 times however many turns you have left in the game, which could be as high as 20 if you're playing against Swim's Milliga deck.
Oh, yeah. That deck's pretty wild. It got tweeted by Gwent today. Asking you what your favorite unusual decks are.
Yeah. So I wish they'd stop doing that.
stop putting those decks out into the ladder.
What was the thing you said one time? You said something like, I feel like sometimes he sets something on fire and just walks away.
Yeah.
Now burn.
Yeah. It's just like, the thing is, like, when you, like, he makes this stuff work. Like, Swim's popular for a reason. He makes this stuff work. And sometimes, like, I think my favorite example is probably Spellguard. This is now we're talking about Swim. So I think that when he made Spellguard, so Spellguard was a Nilfgaard deck that ran the Emperor Enforcers and ran only gold units otherwise. So the Emperor Enforcers were likely always promoting themselves. He actually got those cards nerfed, this deck. But I felt like that deck was a weird deck. It was good, I guess, if you were really, really good at piloting it, but when I would see it on the ladder, it felt like such a train wreck. Like, it was so crazy how he made that deck look so amazing at the time, and it actually got the Enforcers nerfed. It actually got Nilfgaard looked at. Like, that's what happened with that Spellguard deck, but it was a counterable deck, and especially with, I think, Radovid was really popular. And I'm trying to remember what I was playing at the time, but I barely ever lost to that deck, but people were complaining about it. And it was, you know, it was just such a swinging, like, I've never seen this before, and it just obliterated me kind of deck. And I think, you know, those are the kind of decks that Swim really likes to kind of, to say, hey, check this out. I'll see you later. So, have fun with this insanity. It's just, you know, Swim, what do you say? It's exactly what you expect to get from Swim. So hopefully this new patch gives him tons of material, but I hope he doesn't shatter anything.
Well, and rest assured that if he does, that Gwent will retweet it and everyone will be playing it and then they'll nerf it.
Yeah. We'll watch how quickly Avalok becomes stubborn.
Oh my gosh.
The keyword that prevents it from being returned to your hand. But there's other stuff too.
Thunderer is saying it's overpowered, and this is a very measured and calculated and very smart, calm Gwent player. This dude was so upset about the way Avalok's being abused. Like, I think that maybe you're onto something, McBeard. Maybe stubborn is the way to go.
Leave Avalok alone.
Right?
No, but I think, I like, don't abuse him. But I wonder if this is, if we see a tag, I don't know, like a I guess the stubborn tag, right? The same one that's on Operator that prevents it from being played twice. So, I mean, It's funny because when I did the Dandelion expose on how he didn't shuffle your deck after he showed you the order of the cards in your deck, that changed Dandelion, and that wasn't super crazy. Like, that wasn't like a crazy abusable thing, but, you know, it just kind of shone a light on something that, ooh, maybe the developers didn't intend this to happen. So I think playing Avalok twice might be one of those things, but I think we'll see. We'll see. And the new cards are still being revealed. We don't know anything about patch dates, but we do know that it's going to be an influx of new cards, and it's going to be, I believe the number is 49 card changes and then 20 new cards as well. So, you know, forget everything you know. Once again, we're going to another meta.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful time to be playing Gwent in Gwentmas in August. And I think in sum, we want to say that we think this is a great card. We think that seeing another Agile card is really good for Squirtle. Then having another bronze unit that seems to work with a specific archetype is good as well. It's more synergy with buffing decks, which don't really have their own synergy. They just have cards that work together, like dwarves. Since then, there hasn't really been, you know, an archetype defined in terms of keywords, but it looks like we might have the start of that happening with the Farseer.
Yeah, and there's been, you know, as far as like the rest of the news out there, it's been kind of quiet on those. You know, last time it was quiet, a big changes came. So, you know, we're expecting there to be an announcement at some point in August. Gamescom seems like a pretty big stage for it. So I am anticipating changes coming later in the month, because I think it's going to be, you know, I don't think we're going to see any changes this week. And changes this week would mean that Gamescom would be played on an old patch. And I also don't think that's going to happen, but I think we're still seeing the meta change. We're still seeing a lot of stuff evolve, and the tournament scene is different from the ladder. So if you think that there's any sort of, you know, stagnation on the ladder, and you've never watched a tournament before, first of all, watch the tournaments. There's lots of great community tournaments that are going on. You can find them all over the place. Just to name a few, there's, you know, we see the Gwentleman doing the Gwentleman's Open and the Gwentleman's Invitational. There's an Ask Gwent tournament that just happened. Discord runs tournaments on top of that. Good Gaming, you know, there's weekly tournaments. There's always a tournament to find to participate in and watch. Check them out, and definitely check out the Gamescom tournament, because these are the best players at the top of the ladder at the beginning of August. And we're going to see if the ladder skills pay off on the big stage in the tournament.
Yeah, and I think that you're right, that if you think that the ladder is getting a little bit stale, then take a look at what people are playing on these very often casted and streamed tournaments, because the decks are very new, or they're at least very teched out and inventive, and it might give you a couple ideas as to what to try and invent on your own. So I know that we're talking about the Gamescom tournament a little bit, and I just want to dial back just one second and say, you know, I hope that the patch comes very soon, and I hope that they play it on a new patch, because I don't want to be in a situation where a patch lands, you know, 6, 8, maybe 10 days before the tournament, and then the tournament's played on the old patch. We've seen that happen a couple times with the Passiflora tournament, and it's kind of made it sort of harder to watch when you already know what's coming and what's already going to happen, or if the patch is live already, you know? So I'm really hoping that if there is a patch, it happens ASAP, or it just doesn't come at all until right around the time of the tournament.
I think it's coming after the tournament. I think that's kind of the conclusion I'm drawing, just kind of based on where we're at with card reveals and kind of where we're at on the timeline of Gamescom as well. So, you know, that means that, you know, the Gwent Together tournament's it's going to be played on the current patch as well. So, you know, practice is going to make perfect. There's going to be a couple more weeks of the Gwentleman's Invitational League that'll be played on this patch. But I imagine by the end of August, We may have some new cards on our hands, but I guess we'll see. We'll see. We don't know what soon means, or if anything is coming soon. But Gamescom is coming soon, so there's that.
If you say soon one more time, Powell Burza will show up in the Commander's Horn Studios.
Hey, I'd be okay with that. Powell, what's up?
He's here.
That would be great. We'd love to talk to Powell one day. I think that would be great. I think that would be a good idea. I think a lot of people would like that. And I got a chance to see Powell in Poland later this month, so maybe I'll get him on the horn. And also in Gwent Together, when I go to Vienna, I'll be definitely talking to a lot of people as well. So there's going to be lots of content coming for the next podcast on top of that. And you know, you can expect a lot of good stuff coming from the podcast. Let's wrap this one up. We're doing a little shorter show today because there's a lot going on. I'll be honest, folks. There's so much going on.
Yeah, man, you're slammed. You're slammed. I'm just getting back from vacation. I'm like ready to kick back and podcast for the next 2 hours and midnight Viking it up with you. But you've got to travel, man.
Yeah. Well, it's good, though, because you can use this time to just obliterate me on the ladder and get that rank 20 or 21. Get that rank 21, man. Get that border. Get that frame and name.
That'd be nice. I have this crusade against the rank 18 border that I think it's like, I think I said on your stream earlier, I think it's like the spray tan, like the self spray tan of Gwent borders. It's just like, it's so ostentatious and obvious that I can't use it, but you have this, the cool top 1000 closed beta border, and it's so chill and so laid back that, I hope that the rank 21 border is going to suit my fancy.
Yeah, but you can go for that leaderboard, though. Get that nice Scoia'tael border, which is, like, I guess, the theme of this season, the Scoia'tael border. And yeah. Then you can lord that over me. I thought you were saying that the closed beta border is like the spray tan because it's like the molten orange red lava rocks.
No. I mean the bright orangish yellow gold like armor castle border that you get for hitting ranked 18 on the current patch.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's cool and everything. It's definitely an achievement when you get it, but crystal one is nice.
So huge, though. It's like it takes over the entire thing. It's like, you know, I like something a little bit more laid back. I understand it's a really good reward, and I was really excited to get to rank 18 and then not equip it.
I've been seeing a lot of wood borders lately. Hipster stuff.
Hipster wood borders. You have hipster it here. We've got old school work boots and short pants. The wood borders have arrived.
All right, we're just talking about stuff. So let's wrap this one up. Once again, folks, we are supported by our commandos, our Patreons at patreon.com/commandershorn. This week, we'd like to thank our newest commandos.
Commandos!
Andreas R. and Taylor B., thanks so much for supporting our content, keeping the podcast ad-free, and keeping us coming back week after week to proudly represent the community with the best content we can make. It's been really busy. Like I said, we're going to cut it a bit short today. We'd like to have another mailbag episode very soon so we can get back in touch with the community because we're going to skip through emails today. So send us some emails. Let us know what you'd like to talk about. Lore, cards, faction, the upcoming patch, any card reveals that happen from now until, you know, when we have this episode, which will probably be either 2 to 3 episodes from now, as the traveling episode is probably going to be next week. But definitely want to hear from you. Send your emails to commandershornpodcast@gmail.com. Follow any updates about the show or tweet at us at any time at commandershorn. Grey Boxer, where have you been lately?
Deutschland. Yeah. Oh, you mean on the Twitter? Yeah, I'm at Grey Boxer Gwent on Twitter. You can check me out there. Tweeting Gwent stuff at my Gwent peoples. And I do have a Twitch and YouTube channel that I just haven't been using very much. I don't know when that's going to change. Maybe when summer cools off my office and it's not so darn hot in here. I'm not a soldier, a warrior, a Mick Beard who can brave the heat for you lovely people who love to watch him stream Gwent. So I'll be back when it's cold out.
Yeah, my office is like 40 degrees. Like, it's some days are brutal, but I keep doing it day after day. You can find me at McBearded on Twitch. I am, as you're listening to this, on a short hiatus because I am traveling, but you can also find me on YouTube, c/McBeard. Travel vlogs aplenty. I love just pulling my phone out and just recording a quick update on what's going on with me. I'll be traveling through Prague and Vienna, and of course I'll have some updates on the Gwent Together event at Life Coaches. So follow me on YouTube for a lot of information about that. I have a new laptop as well with a PC that can play Gwent, so I will be playing a ton on my travels as well. It's really just the stream that has to take a break, but I'm not taking a break. I'm more engaged than ever. Follow me and on all my travels at McBeardCH on Twitter. And you know, for the podcast, thanks so much for joining us today. It was great having you.
Until next time, this is Grey Boxer.
And this is McBeard.
Best of luck
on the path.